Love you, bro.
Let's give another hand for Pastor Tim and that wonderful message that he gave as far as sowing and his and the hope. You know, it goes along with the message that I have today. And you're not here by accident. You know, it's ordained by God. He's working out something in your life. And those that are listening throughout the web, around the world, we're coming with a gospel. And most, especially the Western world, they feel as though that they already heard the gospel. They already know what the gospel is. A lot of them believe that the gospel is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you know, the story of Jesus. How many people have grew up thinking that the gospel was the story of Jesus? But actually, the gospel isn't a story of Jesus. Jesus came with the gospel, but he didn't speak of himself. He spoke about a place. He spoke about his Father in heaven and who it's our Father too. And if I word this, it's a series. It's a new series that's coming up. And it's called The Kingdom of God. It's called The Gospel, The True Gospel. We are in the midst right now of a worldwide movement. And right now, the world is crying out. Not the Western world, not the church. I said this about 3 weeks ago. I believe the door is closed to the church. Unfortunately, I hate to say that. Maybe there's some few still willing to repent and change from their thoughts. But even back in the time of Jesus, it was brought to him, and the church got really mad at him when he came to bring the gospel. And they even said to him, "What is this foreign doctrine that you're teaching?" How many people have heard that in the Bible, in the scriptures? And so the church was actually upset in the fact that he was bringing something that was so-called foreign to them. But he says, what I'm bringing isn't foreign. It's been around since the foundations of the world. It was foreign because they already established an interpretation. It was foreign because they already established a foundation in what they believed that the gospel was. Through Jesus and the teachings, today is a mirror image of what happened 2,000 years ago when Jesus came. The church has established a gospel, and that gospel seems strange to the gospel that we're about to share with the world. So I hope and pray that you open up your ears and open up your heart, because this is life. This is not a doctrine of do's and don'ts, rights and wrongs, but it's literally life. And that life is established from our Creator since the foundations of this world. Since the time where he decided after the war in heaven, some of you might know my testimony, some of you might not know my testimony. Remember, I'm speaking to those all around the world. And my testimony is that I was taken into a heavenly place and was given the mysteries and the ancient secrets. And in that, there was a war in heaven, and God overcame and won the war. With that being said, there was a penalty to the prisoner, so to say. And those prisoners had a time to redeem themselves. So there was a work that we had to come to accomplish to be redeemed back to God. Or he would have just took us and destroyed us. But he gave us an opportunity through his mercy and through his love and through his compassion to be brought back to him. and to be able to live an eternal life forever and ever. Now understand that we are living in a flesh body, and that flesh body is going to leave. But there's also a spirit that's a part of us right now that was here was there in eternity, came here on this place that was created for redemption, and then to be brought back, whether to him or not to him. Now this is the truth. This is the story of why we're here. And we're here for one thing and one thing only: to establish a kingdom, to establish a place inside for God to dwell in and develop a relationship, a communion, so that we're brought back to him when we leave this earthly body. It's, I would say, a form of, do you love me or not? Do you care about me or not? Are you going to change from your rebellious ways, or are you going to stay rebellious? Eternity, and when we go back, he wants to know if we're tried and tested and proven to be worthy enough to be a part of him. How many of us are beginning to understand a little bit? Okay? If this was not true or so, there would be no need for a gospel. There would be no need for a minister with a fire burning inside to share a message for your salvation. It wouldn't exist. But some of you here today and some that are listening, you feel as though that you have a fire burning inside of you and you can't quench it, can you? So you're a living example of part of the truth of this gospel being given, because you have a fire burning in you and you can't stop or even stop feeling compassion for another, knowing that their soul is going to perish or be destroyed. How many of you here feel that way? That they have a fire burning inside of them, they get this joy of even declaring the gospel, and they have this inner part of, well done, my faithful servant. Just the other day, Pastor Sam was ministering the gospel, and he saw the power of the gospel touch people's lives, and they started to understand, and he saw eyes opened up and deaf ears opened up, and he saw how he was beginning to be a witness to these people who have been crying out for the truth. Could you have controlled it? Come on up here for a second, Sam, just real quickly. I want you to be to testify of this fire that I'm talking about.
There was a wholesaler we deal with. His son had gone to the hospital and was pretty much dying from diabetes. He's a really heavy kid, 18 years old. His father called us crying, saying, guys, help, please. I wasn't led to go there. I just said, we'll pray for him. 2 days later, the kid, he brought him in. They kept shooting him with insulin until he came out of it, and they brought him in, and his father said that this kid has to get a shot for everything he eats. 12 to 15 shots a day. If he eats one piece of bread, shot. Drinks juice, shot. Eats a piece of cheese, shot. And this kid sat down, and Osh, my partner, grabbed his father, and he took off. Left me with the son. And I said, all right. And I started talking to this kid, and I told him why we were here. Just like Pastor just said, I said, we were in the beginning with God. And we rose up against him and followed the devil. But God didn't hold that against us. We were duped. We were fooled by a lie. And God knew that. And he gave us a second chance to come down here to be redeemed back to him. And as I said that to this kid, he looked at me and he said, oh my God, I never knew why I was here. I never knew why I was a sinner. I never knew what I did wrong. And this boy, for an hour and a half, heard the entire gospel. And I said, God, he took his hand, and he wrote a law on your heart. He wrote a life on your heart with his own hand. He wrote it. And I said, and all you have to do is follow the conviction of your heart, and you're without sin. I said to him, this is the nicest kid in the world. I said, what did you do wrong to make you a sinner? He said, I have no idea. I said, exactly. There is no sin. Sin's created by man. This kid, I had him read everything I was saying to him right in this book. We got done. He was shaken. He was shaken. We prayed. He left, and he sent me a text. And this text said, I can't believe what I just heard today. It made my whole entire life real. And he said, he didn't say he felt better. He said, I feel new. New. Not changed. Not better. New. And five people came to my work this week. Five of them got the whole entire gospel. All five. Beginning to the end. And they all were saying the same thing. I've never heard it spoken like this. This makes all the sense in the world. I'm sick of religion. I'm sick of people telling me I'm wrong, how wicked I am. He said, every one of them said, I cannot believe what I'm hearing. This is life. Every one of them. Including an electrician last night came to my work, an older guy. Got the whole thing. Local guy in Philly, and he's working for us, and he got the whole thing. It's just God is moving right now. This gospel is life. It sets them free from the power of sin. It sets them free from not understanding why they're here. When we preach this gospel, they get it, and they get it quick. And then they're raised up, and now they're going to be used. This church is going to fill up. Watch. You'll see. I'm telling you. It's a miracle what's happening right now.
Wait a minute. Now, could you keep your mouth shut?
No.
I had no control.
You couldn't keep your mouth shut?
Nope. No.
Why is there a fire burning? You see what I'm saying? You couldn't keep your mouth shut.
No, because the more I spoke, the more I had life, the more it was for me. I was being blessed so much. The power of God, as it was speaking, was building me up more and more and more. And after everybody got done, I went and I just cried and thanked God that he was able to even use me. I was just so in awe, so thankful that he used me. And that's all I want. I don't want anything. I don't care about anything else but that. That's what I want. That's where I found life.
Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. My point that I'm trying to make is that we're living in the last days, if you like it or not. We're living in the last days. I'm not an end time minister. I'm not one of those burning brimstone kind of guys, you know, or what have you. You won't see me condemn you in any way, shape, or form. But I will tell you to change the way you're thinking. And because of my testimony, I know for a shadow of a doubt, and I share this with the pastors, and we're very tight, and we're a knit group that God has put together. And we know for a fact that we're living in an exciting time, because there would be no way that he would raise us up with a fire burning inside of us just for our own personal salvation. When I asked Sam, could he keep his mouth shut, he said no. I'm like, why? Because as I was giving it out, I was being filled up. There's something that takes place when the gospel is given, but the true gospel. And because of what is happening, as Jesus came 2,000 years ago, he came with a gospel, but that gospel that he was coming with seemed to be a strange gospel to the ones that he was declaring to in that time. And that's why I call this movement the second coming of Christ. Because we're not coming with any different gospel. We're coming with the same gospel as Jesus spoke 2,000 years ago. But the ears weren't opened up, and somehow or another was changed and perverted and everything else. He even said that I am not coming with a strange gospel. This has been around since the foundations of the world. He spoke about King David. He spoke about Moses. He spoke about all those prophets, Elijah and all that. He even said that if you would believe, John the Baptist is coming with the spirit of Elijah. Well, if you believe, we're coming with the spirit of Christ. And this is the second coming of Christ. There is a worldwide movement that is happening right now. Revival is right at our feet, right at the threshold. I believe it's here already. There are many people around the world that are not a part of church who have the truth in them, and they're looking for an answer. And the church is not giving the answer, that the witness is inside of them. 1 minute for a second, I'll bring you up and you can testify of this. And so what I'm saying is, if you know Scripture, if you know the end time way of God pouring out His Spirit at the end of an age, not destroying the world and all, I'm talking about an age that is ending and a new age that is coming. If you knew anything about Revelations or anything about prophecy, it even says where God got discouraged with His people, so to say. And I look at that as the organized church, so to say, and all types of religion. I'm talking about Asian, all around the world, Muslim, Christianity, all those controlled doctrines of religions, of laws of men. We'll just call it that. Traditions and laws of men. That God says, I'm closing the door to the wedding feast. And I'm not going to invite them anymore to the wedding feast. I'm going to send my angels out, and they're going to go and draw in the highways and the byways. How many people have heard that scripture verse before? Where they're going to go into the highways and the byways, and they're going to pull out the ones that don't know me, basically. I truly believe that there's an outpouring of the Spirit of God that has already ascended, and it's the witness of His lost sheep. And in that, God says that He's going to gather all His sheep and bring them into a green pasture. This truth that we're bringing, this gospel that we're bringing about the kingdom of God, is the green pasture that He's drawing these people in. But it has nothing to do with laws, rules, and regulations. And I want to clarify this because, look, we all have morals, right? You know not to steal. You know not to take something that doesn't belong to you. You know to not take a gun or a knife or your hands and murder or abuse somebody, right? You know that. You don't have to be told in a religious atmosphere not to kill your neighbor, right? I think we've reached a time and a knowledge that surpassed a time when they needed that law. If you look back in through periods of ages, we were brought up as, you know, cavemen, and we drug our woman by the hair, you know, and we abused, and we didn't have any morals. We would kill our brother over a stolen chicken or something. You follow what I'm saying? We were barbaric, and some still might be like that out there somewhere, but we have evolved. And so there, that law now, the Ten Commandments, so to say, shall not steal, shall not covet your neighbor, I think we evolved past that. How many people would want to say amen to this one? Okay? But I want to say, I hate saying this, and I'm going to be honest with you, it's disturbing in my heart to keep saying religion, religion, and religion's bad, you know, because we're over here looking like a religious place, you know. And I testify about Jesus, and I testify about the love of God and everything else. But my point about religion is, whatever organization you join, whatever organization you go to, they have a set of rules. You can't wear this, you can't wear that, you can't have your hair this way, you have to have, you can't have, you have to be married, you can't wear, you can't marry at a wedding, you can't do this, out of that. It's a whole list of rules. How many people understand what I'm talking about? And each one is different than the other. It's like, oh my goodness. And then they even have so many or so devout, I guess you can say, where, you know, the clock hit. Oh, let's get on our knees and start praying. And then it's like you got to do it like 8 times a day or whatever. I mean, it gets so radically out of you. It's not who you are. It's not who you are. And the world understands that. There's a movement. They want a relationship with God, but yet they don't want to be bound by the traditions. I don't want to wake up on a Saturday morning and go out and feed the poor on the streets. I don't want to do it. But the whole organization is telling me I have to. If not, then I'm not a true Christian, or I'm not a true believer or something. You know, the Bible says that you have to do these things and that things. And there's interpretations of the scripture that causes people to run, not from God, but run from, I guess you could say, the church. And now this is allowing the scripture to come to pass when God says, I'm going to scatter my sheep. And that's what is basically happening. The sheep of God are being scattered. And the whole world has this truth in them, and they need a witness of this truth. Now, Jesus came not with a foreign gospel, but he came as a witness, just like the other prophets and those from the past. They were witnesses. And they were witnesses to let you know that God dwells with you, that God loves you. Now, this series that I'm going to be speaking about, I want to call it the Kingdom of God. Because we need to understand the gospel of the Kingdom of God. We need to understand the message that Jesus was even trying to bring 2,000 years ago. Listen, Jesus, I will break these things down as I begin to speak about the gospel and the Kingdom of God. And this message is for the whole world. God loves the whole world. He doesn't care where you came from, where you live. They don't care about who you are, nothing. He doesn't even care about what you did. He just is concerned about what is inside of you, because he placed your life inside of you. He placed your passions. He placed your desires. He placed your convictions, your hopes, your joys. And they're different amongst everyone. My joys are not like your joys. My convictions are not like your convictions. My passions are not your passions. God's intent was not to make us all a cookie cutter individual where we all wear black, or we all can't put our lights on, or can't have electric, or, you know, we have to pray at every hour on the hour, or we have to have a rule book of what we need to do, or any of that. He created us with his own rule book in each and every one of us. And that in itself brings righteousness on the earth. And I want to break this down because we need to understand so that we're free. We don't feel bad if we don't go to church. Yes, would I like to see multitudes of people, you know, fill this place to hear this truth? But my greatest desire is that the church is built with inside of you. That's my greatest desire. You're going to want to come here to hear more. You're going to want to come here so because once you taste and know that this truth is inside of you and you have a witness and all I'm bearing is witness inside of you and it relieves the guilt and shame that you're carrying around and I'm over here saying it's okay if you had passions and loves without actually committing a marriage. Who would ever say something like that? But someone who is free. Listen. I know that there's a lot of divorces out there that took place because they may have not really intimately knew anyone before they actually got married. How many people understand this one? And unfortunately, those things play a play. And last thing I want to see is any type of divorce. But that's a whole different story. You need to be rooted and grounded in this truth to understand what I'm saying. There's a conviction inside of you, and God requires you to follow it. And it may not be what I believe, in the sense of, let's just take something basic. Alcohol. How many people understand alcohol? How many people drink? Maybe a glass of wine. Maybe a six pack. Maybe they get sloshed once every Friday night. But I'm not going to tell you that it's wrong. I'm not going to tell you it's bad. I'm not going to say that you can't do it if you want to go to church or if you want to have a relationship with God. I know that there was areas in this book, in the Bible, that they drank. Jesus drank with the wine bibbers and stuff like that, you know? Whether he drank or not, I don't know. Nor do I even care. But if there's a conviction on your heart that's knocking and saying, okay, maybe you had enough, maybe you got to listen to it. If the knocking is not there, don't listen to somebody that says you shouldn't drink. I mean, people are understanding this one. This is God. This is God. Now, if I'm going to tell you to go drink, or if you are drinking, use wisdom, you know. Don't go out and drive, find a driver, you know, these kind of things. But I want to get to the point of what I'm trying to say about the conviction. It's the alcohol is not bad. Drinking is not bad. It's not listening to the conviction of your heart. If you're drinking and you're having a glass of wine, how many people know that some churches or religions say that you can't drink at all? Right? But how many are convicted of having a beer or a glass of wine? Think about it. But yet they'll go to church and say, I don't have wine. Oh my God, that's what I want to do. That's where I want to go. That's where I want to be a part of. Now I'm a liar. Listen, this gospel, this truth allows you to live and allows you to be free and allows you to be who you are and allows you to walk with integrity and boldness. It allows you to say, yeah, I had a beer. What are you going to do? I didn't have conviction in my heart, so I'm okay. Listen, God is speaking to us as an individual. And he says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. He didn't say, work out somebody else's salvation and judge them. He didn't say, go stare at everybody and then get angry because you can't do it and they can. They said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. This gospel needs to be brought out to the whole world because there are people who have questions, who are longing to feel good about themselves because they are truly good people. But they might have gotten drunk over the weekend and now they feel guilty and they blow off an invitation to come to something like this. Well, I won't go this week. I got to make sure I'm good this week coming up, so then I'll go. I spoke last week the importance of getting the Word of God in you and how important it is, because if we're filled with the Word of God, and this is a whole, understand that we live in a spiritual world and we don't live in the carnal world. When Jesus says, I am not of this world, he was basically saying, I live in a spiritual place. I live in a spiritual world. And I don't live according to the world, the rules and the regulations, the do's and the don'ts. I don't live according to traditions of men and things of that nature. How many of us ever gotten condemned because someone put so much pressure on us because we didn't show up for a party? Or we didn't write somebody a card? You know, and they put that shame and guilt, and they tried to steal something. They literally tried to steal what Jesus came to try to build. We have a responsibility, and that responsibility is to build the kingdom of God. And when we can build the kingdom of God, then God dwells with us. This is it. This is our responsibility. Now, I'm going to share with you in Scripture about how this gospel came to pass. And we're not speaking any strange gospel. This gospel has been around before the foundations of the world, and this gospel has been around since Jesus' time. I met Jesus. I was taken into heaven for 3 days. And that's why I stand here with a fire burning inside of me, because I saw him. And I can testify that with boldness that I saw him. And the words that I say are not offended to him. They might be offended to you, but they're not offended to him, because he instructed me to go back and tell the world the gospel. It's not about him. It's about our Heavenly Father. Even though that he played a part to get us to understand the gospel, it's not about him. He was the one who brought the message. He was the witness of what's inside of us. I want to share something. Before Jesus came, it's Matthew chapter 3, it says, in those days John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken by the prophet Isaiah when he said, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. In the very beginning, before Jesus was bringing the gospel, God sent John the Baptist to prepare the people and tell them, you got to start repenting. Now, we were all brought up thinking that repentance was sorry for my sins, sorry for my bad stuff, right? How many people have believed that one? Repent. When you heard the word repent, didn't you think you had to say you're sorry? Didn't you think you had to say you're sorry when someone said, you better repent? Well, I'm going to tell you, that's wrong. If you look up the meaning of that word, it means change the way you're thinking. Not change what you're doing or what have you. Just change the way you're thinking. If it's going against your will or not going against your will. Is it causing harm and bad in others or not? Just change the way you're thinking. But I truly believe that he was really trying to say, I'm coming with a gospel message that man has changed and put so many rules and regulations down and has basically allowed a couple of generations to go on and rooted and grounded the thinking of this generation. And now I'm coming with a gospel that has been rooted and grounded for 3, 4, 5, 6 generations. So now you have to change the way you're thinking. You have to throw away this doctrine that is indoctrinated to you, all those thoughts and beliefs that you were brought up in, and now you have to start listening to what I'm saying and change the way you're thinking. That's what I truly believe. It has nothing to do about what you're doing right and wrong, good or bad. It had nothing to do with it. Because, to be honest with you, God doesn't care what you're doing. Sounds crazy, doesn't it? What do you mean God doesn't care if I'm doing good or bad or right or wrong? He doesn't. What he mostly cares about is if you're following the laws that are written on your heart. If you got a conviction, you have to understand conviction. And conviction tells you to go left, go right, stop doing what you're doing, or do more. And God has created a life for you to follow and a path to be led. And the only way that you're going to follow and be led is by your heart. And when you follow your heart, there is great things that happen, and we'll get into that. I wanted you to know that when you come into the kingdom of God, you develop a life, and that life is everlasting. It's an exceedingly beyond what you can comprehend or even imagine. Let's take a marriage. Why do people get married? Because there's something in them that is called love, and they can't stop thinking about that person, right? And so they want to be joined to the hip. They don't want that person to ever leave them. So they get married. What happens when a divorce comes? One of them is really upset, and some of them never ever get over it. Why? Because there's something in their heart. Your heart has a lot of power. And that power is literally called the kingdom of God. The world just doesn't know it. See, God has established something inside of you. And we're here to waken you up and let you know what is going on, what it is. Wouldn't you like to know what's going on inside of you? Why you're troubled or why you're really happy? Wouldn't you like to know why you feel the way you feel? Wouldn't you like to know what you're supposed to do in your life? Wouldn't you like to know your purpose? Wouldn't you like to know what God has planned for you? Wouldn't you like to know if you're making the right decisions or not? Wouldn't you like to know the truth? And this is what I'm trying to bring to the world. This is what I'm trying to bring to those that have an ear to be willing to listen. And I truly believe God is knocking on the whole entire world. Because if you said yes to everything that I said, guess what? God is drawing you to his pasture so that you can hear the witness. Now, it says here, John was sent first. He was telling everybody to repent. Change the way you're thinking. Prepare the way. Change the way you're thinking, because there's a gospel coming that you have never heard before. So I'm going to lay out the foundation and tell you that you got to start changing the way you're thinking. Throw everything that you weigh, everything that you know away, and be open-minded, because something's coming. I believe we were coming through a point where we had the spirit of John the Baptist, or we can say the spirit of Elijah. Where Elijah was coming with signs and wonders and miracles, and things were happening, and I truly believe the spirit of Elijah was here. If you know the spirit and the gospel and the truth, you'll understand what I'm saying. How many of us have come across that realm, a period of time where there was tremendous amount of signs and wonders and miracles flowing through the ministries? Some didn't even know what it was. But it was the spirit of Elijah coming before the people, because when you see feathers fly and glory floating all over the place and diamonds falling on the ground and people being healed and delivered of many, many incredible miracles, signs and wonders and stuff like that, it makes people change the way they're thinking. It makes people say, wow, this is unusual. This doesn't happen. What's going on? And guess what? They begin to start changing the way they're thinking. They begin to say, there is something deeper here. Wait a minute. Let's get into the river. Let's jump into the river. Let's take a dip into the river and start changing the way we're thinking. How many people understand the river? Has anyone ever had the privileges of jumping in the river? Amen. I've been swimming in the river for a while. Then Jesus came. It said here, now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. John the Baptist came with the spirit of Elijah and telling everybody to change the way they're thinking. And then Jesus came preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. This is what I'm saying. Change the way you're thinking now. You want a life? You want all those answers? You want to make sure that you're doing the right thing? Listen, God might be moving on your heart to quit something and go backwards in order for you to increase. But that goes against the way we're thinking. Wait a minute, you're telling me to go backwards and lessen my life for me to, in order to get a greater life? Listen, we're lost. You don't know the truth. You're walking around with tons of questions. Am I doing the right thing? Am I studying the right subjects? I don't know. I was told by this person to do that, so I'm just following. You know what? We're all following the blind. And the blind is leading the blind. And all we are is sheep without a shepherd, walking around trying to find our place in life. All we're trying to do is find our purpose, and why are we even here? But if you knew this gospel, if you knew this truth that I'm about to bring, it's the reality of the kingdom of God, the true gospel, and you apply this true gospel, you're going to have a life. And not only are you going to have a life, but it's going to be everlasting. It's going to lead into an eternal realm. Because God is going to say, well done, my faithful servant. You have the righteousness of me, not the righteousness of man. Come in. I want you to get serious with your life now and your life for eternity. Only you can do it. I can lead you to the water, but I can't make you drink. I can bring you to a place where you'll have a tranquility of peace and joy and righteousness and a confidence and a boldness of who you are. I can bring you there, but you're the one that has to do it. You're the one that has to maintain it. You're the one that has to follow it. You're the one that has to apply it. You're the one that needs to change the way you're thinking. How many people understand this one? Now, I'm doing my job. I'm doing my conviction. I'm living in the righteousness of God. Whether one hears me or multitudes hear me, it doesn't matter, because I'm in a bubble. And in that bubble, I'm obedient to my conviction. It doesn't matter what happens. It doesn't matter what goes on. The only thing that matters is if I have peace with God and I follow the conviction of my heart, where I continue to hear, well done, my faithful servant. When you follow that conviction, I'm not asking you all to become preachers and ministers and evangelists and all. I'm talking about following your call, following your conviction, following God's voice, following His law written on your heart. Guess what? You have entered a place called the kingdom of God. You have come into a place called the kingdom of God. Do you know how many people have entered into the kingdom of God yet are condemned because the world says that you're not doing what they're told? How many of us have been rebuked or made fun of because we have a plan on our heart? We have a hope, a conviction. I like using relationships because relationships we can identify by. How many people told you that your boyfriend and your girlfriend weren't right for you? You see? How can you go against the conviction on your heart? How can you go against love? God is love. I mean, listen, it got down to when we get wiser to the things of the world, we don't even tell anybody anymore of our convictions. We do what we have to do, and we don't say anything to anybody. And you know why? Because we just don't want to hear it. Well, I want to say kudos to you out there, because you have been able to understand that the world is always going to come against you. The world is always going to tell you you can't do this and you can't do that, and you have to do this and you have to do that. The world is full of arguments, and the world wants to destroy you and cause you to doubt in the whole nine yards. But God just wants you to be obedient to Him and to be obedient unto death. And this, I will try to clarify and go over everything with you, because I want you to dwell in the kingdom of God. I'm going to briefly, because I'm short of time, but I want to lay this foundation real quick. It says here that Jesus said that he came to preach this gospel, and the gospel means good news of the kingdom of God. And then it says here, it says, when will the kingdom of God come? It says, now when he was asked by the Pharisees when this kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, here is the kingdom of God, or see, there is the kingdom. For indeed, the kingdom of God is within you. Within you. It's within you, individually. It's not in the church. It's not in, you know, the Western world or the Mideast world or the Asian world. It's within you. It's within you. Then it says here, it says, well, what should we do, basically? Seek. It says, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. And basically what he's saying is, don't worry and don't have fear. Okay, I'm just going to try to lay a quick foundation. It says, he says, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own thing. Sufficient for the day is its own troubles. Okay, briefly, it's saying that God created you. God created your life. He put passions and desires inside of you. He put things. He put life inside of you. Don't you think that He gave you all the resources to fulfill that stuff? Don't you think that He put inside of you a passion and a love? Don't you think He's going to send you the right love and send you the passions and the tools and the resources to fill it? Why would God give you a life and then leave you out there aimlessly to have you struggle and fight and try to figure it out and all that, when everything is inside of you? All we got to do is tap into it. Do you know that there are points where people get so lost they can't even feel anymore? And then they end up turning out to be cutters and addicts and the whole nine yards. That's death. I don't want to see that. You know, it's a shame when you have an individual that has life and it went to the pits. They're worthless. I don't want any of those people in my life. It's like, you're worthless. Get out of here. How many people want worthless people in their life? See, nobody wants that. You know, you want to be able to have people that have purpose and dreams and plans so that you can be lifted up as you lift them up and encourage one another and keep on. That's the true church. To pick them up out of their miry pit and get them to move on and become functional and be able to have a purpose. Not just wake up every day and do the same thing over and over. As you get older, you understand that one. You know, there must be something more in life. You established everything. You got everything that you need. And you're waking up doing the same thing over and over and over. After a while, you start saying there's got to be more than life than this. And there is. God never stops talking. God never stops leading you and guiding you. You just have to follow it to get a life. And as soon as you begin to follow that conviction on your heart, the law that's written on your heart, you obtain a life. There was a healing that happened with a person in scriptures, and they said, the kingdom of God came upon you. There's life and healing and power in the kingdom. It's important to understand the kingdom. So then I'll be real quick, and then I believe me, this is it. I'm done. It says here, it says, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. It's not a physical place. It's a spiritual place. We all got to learn how to dwell in it. And I'll get into more details. But I also want to finish these last two. It says, now therefore you are no longer strangers or foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. They're not talking about carnal. They're talking about spiritual. As soon as the kingdom of God begins to develop inside of you, guess what? Heaven now begins to work alongside of you. And I'll go into detail with this, because there was a point where Jesus walked into a crowd and then you heard the demons manifest and scream, what do you want before me? You know what? It's not my time, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so darkness and the heavenlies begin to understand, and also the light begins to understand and works alongside of you. And it says, your fellow citizens and saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being a chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. This is where God begins to start dwelling with you. See, this is why it's so important to build the kingdom of God inside of you, so that God can now dwell with you. How many of us want our prayers answered? How many of us just want to make sure that we're right in his eyes? How many of us just want to make sure that we have eternal life? Well, God better habitate in you. You see, he better dwell with you, because if God's not dwelling with you, guess what? You're going to be left alone. No conviction. You're just going to be lost. And you're going to be turning to and fro from every wind of doctrine trying to find your purpose. You're going to be trying to find your life. And then it says at the end in Revelations, it says, and I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. See, it was the purpose of Jesus to come. It was the purpose of that gospel to come, so that we will be able to have a kingdom built inside of us, so we're not lost. You want true salvation? I'm the one that brings true salvation. I know the way, I know the truth, and I know the life. And nobody can come to the Father except through me. That's a bold statement. That's almost the same words as Jesus said. But guess what? That gospel's gone. Where is it? Who's declaring it? Who's speaking it? Who's telling you how to have a place where God can dwell in? That's what I want to know. I'm serious about what I'm saying. I'm sick and tired of seeing good people, honest people, run from God. Not run from them. They're longing to have a relationship with God, but they don't know where to have it because they were depending on the church and the church isn't doing it for them. They're just laying all this guilt and rules and regulations, and this is how they find God. Well, I guess I have to be converted. Well, I guess I need to be converted. Which one do I want to be converted to? Do I want to be converted to this religion? Do I want to be converted to this religion? Do I want to be converted to that religion? Or do I want to be converted to this one? God's not saying to be converted at all. God is just saying, change the way you're thinking and build a kingdom within inside of you. I love you just the way you are. I'm not asking you to cut your hair. I'm not asking you to grow your hair. I'm not asking you to wear black or not wear black at all. I'm not asking you to change, you know, your schedule and your responsibilities, but I'm just asking you to build a kingdom. A kingdom that is not made with hands. A kingdom that is already established. There's a war, I will tell you that. One thing God says is the kingdom of God suffers violence. And the violence is taken by force. Darkness doesn't want you to have a kingdom. Darkness doesn't want you to have a dwelling place for God. Darkness will lie to you. Darkness will steal from you. Darkness will keep you lost. This is why it's important to get this word in you. This is why it's important to understand this truth and hear this gospel. That's why it's important. I want the best out of your life. I want you to be prosperous. I want you to make a lot of money. I want you to live in happiness. I want you to live in love. I want you to live with an ecstasy just overflowing inside of you. A place where you're not filled with worry. A place where you're not filled with fear. I can introduce you to God all day long. Okay, I shared this before. God doesn't exist. The only way he exists is if you believe. If you don't believe, then he doesn't exist in your life. He's not there. He doesn't dwell with you. You're a foreigner in a foreign land. How many people understand this? I don't want you to be deceived. You know, we have an eternal life that we're going to face. And one day we're going to stand before judgment. And you're called and chosen because you're hearing this word. Don't neglect the word of God and think it's a common thing. Change the way you're thinking and begin to grab hold, because you might not see it, but God is going to use you in a mighty way. You might not understand right now, but God has a purpose for you. Listen, there were some that were called to be apostles. When they were around the feet of Jesus, they were used in a mighty way. I just truly believe that we need to stop being so concerned about the things of this world and then begin to start grabbing hold of our purpose. What are you here for? What are you here for? What's your purpose? To be a good mom? To be a good dad? To raise children? Maybe to get a good job? Build a nice big house? Have a nice car? What's your purpose? Because I'm going to tell you right now, you'll obtain all those things, but are you going to be happy inside when you have it? You're going to be empty. You're going to be dry. You're going to be thirsty. You're going to be sick and tired, rotting from the inside out, wondering where you're supposed to be. You're lost, and you'll always be lost. I don't know about you, but I thank God that He has changed my life because I'm no longer rotting inside. And I had everything. I had it all. Everything that a man could accomplish at his age. At his age. And I will say this. I was in pits. And I pulled myself out of pits. So it's not like I had a silver spoon handed to me. Or started out with $1 million. I started out with a wheelbarrow and a toolbox. I understand what it's like to start from the pits. And build yourself up. But you know what? You would think a man would be proud and have pride in what he did and filled. I was empty. I was dying. I was lost. Let's have every head bowed for a moment. If you don't want to be lost, this is your salvation right here. Change the way you're thinking. When I was young, I thought young. Then when I became a man, I started to change my young ways and started to grow up. Then when I became older, I'm not a real old man, but when I got older, I began to reevaluate my life again. Now it's the time to make a decision. There was a point in my life where I had to make a decision. Do I want to continue to live every day sick and tired of being sick and tired? Do I want to live every day feeling lost, not sure of where to go? Or do I want a relationship with God who can lead and direct my footsteps? Who can make me prosper and bless? Because I believe that there are some in this room that want to bring them to a place of financial stability where they can bless. I'd like to prophesy and speak over some people's lives, but I don't want to embarrass you. I want us to just keep our heads bowed, and I'm going to speak some things, and if it feels that I'm speaking to you, I am. But I don't want to point you out. But I believe God is saying that He wants you to be that successful mother. One who is looked upon as a great mom. Some will have many children. Some only have a couple. But the Lord is saying those that have this heart, you didn't fail. And you might not have children yet. But if you're with me, you'll never fail. A door is opening up, and prosperity is coming your way. There are some who are thinking of marriage. And God wants to bless it. There's a unique love there that is unspeakable. A lot of wisdom is in the midst. And God is saying that I'm pleased with the love that is joined. There is going to be much fruit and support. One is going to, I want to say, succeed more than the other, but not have a job. She's exceeding with wisdom, courage, hope. She's the backbone of the relationship. I would say the perfect PTA mom. Where the other is just going to be a loving one who will work in a moderate way. And everything that is built and established would be from hard work, moderate, middle class, so to say. But the heart is established richly. Not wanting anything more, not wanting anything less. So God blesses it. God is bringing a couple into some real deep things. They have established their life and they're crying out that there is something more. But there's a foundation that needs to be built. And he wants to build that foundation. And when that foundation is built, and it will be built quickly, there'll be a tremendous amount of work that they will be called to and will accomplish. And it won't be done separately. It will be done in a joint effort. This is God's plan from the beginning, where the two become one. And you two will agree and encourage and play a part. And the task won't be put on just one, but it will be a mutual relationship, a business relationship, an accomplishment of charity, an accomplishment of ministry, an accomplishment of helping individuals based on their experience. Worry is one of the biggest destroyers. And God is saying, for you to want to prosper, because you've been asking, when am I going to have my breakthrough? When am I going to be able to see some light at the end of the tunnel? The Lord is saying that you're worrying way too much. And you say, I'm not. I'm just questioning. Or I'm concerned, but the Lord is saying your heart is troubled. And the kingdom of God is being shaken And when the kingdom of God is shaken, you're at war. And nothing can move forward when you're at war. The war has to subside, and peace needs to come in, and then the economy can start. But when war breaks out, the economy stops, and nothing is done until the war is won or lost. God is saying, I want the war to win, because it's my plan and my purpose, but we have a will. And my children suffer from lack of knowledge, and the knowledge is coming by my word, and the word is, stop worrying. Do everything possible, release it, and give it to me. Walk away from it, and you'll see that I will lead you and guide you. Trust me. A new season is coming and knocking at your door. Are you willing to walk away from your old life? If you're willing to walk away and start afresh, this is the time. Don't look back, but put your foot down and make the decision. You're on the fence post. You're teetering. Should I come or should I go? God is saying, stop it. Make a decision. Stop pushing it off. Stop waiting another year. Make the decision. Is it yes or is it no? Why wait? Why wait? Build it together. Build it alone. But just build. You're not doing anything by waiting. If you're waiting for me, the Lord says, I'm speaking now. Don't wait. Amen. Father, I thank you, Lord. And Lord, I ask that if there is anyone here that needs a healing, Lord, I ask whether it's spiritual, physical, or mental, I ask, Lord, that you come and heal them. Take their troubles away. Loose them from their infirmities, their sicknesses, or their diseases. If there's anyone that has a loved one here that might be bound with some sickness or a disease, right now, I want you to picture that individual. See their face. Because God says he's going to bless them too and heal them also. If that's you that has a loved one on their heart right now and sees that person, I want you to come up here, because I'm going to stand in agreement with you and we're going to pray for that person. Amen. Don't hold yourself back.